Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. One of the favorites in my homes is the BBC comedy named Father Ted. It's a slice of life on Craggy Island, where three misfit priests are serving a small and remote Catholic parish in Ireland. On Ash Wednesday, Father Ted receives a call from his arch-rival, Father Dick Byrne. Ted asks him what he'll be giving up for Lent this year, suggesting that he might want to give up being the biggest idiot in the priesthood. But Father Dick Byrne turns on the charm and tricks Ted into thinking that the clergy in Father Burns' church are making a special effort this year. Not wanting to be outdone, Father Ted says that he and his associates plan to make a similar, pious, and overly devotional effort. Each of them will give up their own particular vice, cigarettes, alcohol, and rollerblading. Struggling to make good on their pledges of abstinence, the good father has to call in reinforcements from an austere local religious order. Father Ted is absolutely determined that these sacrifices can and will be made for one real reason. As he puts it, "There's no way that I'm going to let Father Dick Byrne beat me in a giving things up competition." I think we all start out with this perspective on Lent. Back in my Baptist days as a child, I didn't know anything about Lent, but I knew all about the giving things up competition. It's as regular as a New Year's resolution. What are you giving up this Lent? Each year, the church sounds the trumpet like the prophet Joel, calling us to the observance of the season of fasting and abstinence. By the way, fasting means restricting the amount of food. Today is a fast day, when we give up food, or at least cut way back. Abstinence has to do with giving up or abstaining from something. We are to abstain from red meat on Fridays throughout the year, for example. it's been customary to go further during Lent, giving up animal products altogether. And that's where the Shrove Tuesday pancake supper comes from, by the way, trying to use up all the butter and eggs before Lent. In the Western Church, we've become very lax in our Lenten discipline. Perhaps the problem is that we have individualized it too much. Instead of seeing the fast as something we do together as a family, we say, "What are you giving up for Lent this year?" We should fast to honor our Lord by showing sorrow for our sins, which were the cause of his suffering and atoning death on the cross. We also fast to strengthen our wills, to practice saying no, so that we will be ready to say no to sin. And in all, we fast together to grow closer to God. St. John Chrysostom once said, "Do you fast? Show me by your works. Do not let only your mouth fast, but also the eye, the ear, the feet, the hands, and all the members of our bodies. Let the hands fast by keeping free of avarice. Let the feet fast by ceasing to run after sin. Let the eyes fast by disciplining them not to glare at that which is sinful. Let the ear fast by not listening to evil talk and gossip. Let the mouth fast from foul words and unjust criticism. For what good does it do to abstain from meat when we bite and devour our brethren?" Our time in the Lenten desert is a time of preparation. We're getting ready for the mysteries of the cross and resurrection, getting ready for the Pentecostal gift of the Spirit, getting ready for the Great Commission work we are called to in our world, getting ready to be heirs of the kingdom of God. When God called Israel out of Egypt to freedom as a nation, to be his people, he had them journey through the desert for 40 years. In the desert, they were tested and tried, shaped and molded, and transformed into the people he called them to be. Their leader, Moses, was also transformed in the desert. He was cast out of Egypt and first heard God's voice in the wilderness. Later, Moses fasted 40 days with the Lord on Mount Sinai to be prepared to receive the law from God. Jesus also continued the desert experience, setting an example for us. After Jesus was baptized, the Spirit drove him into the desert, where he stayed for 40 days of prayer, fasting, and temptation, to prepare for his ministry as the Christ, the Redeemer of man. An ancient church manual, the Didascalia, declared, "The 40-day fast is to be observed to remember our Lord's way of life and his teachings." The church in her wisdom has called us to go out into the desert for 40 days of fasting and prayer, to mourn our sins, to seek God, and to be transformed by his grace. St. Leo the Great wrote, "Dear friends, what Christians should be doing at all times should be done now with greater care and devotion, so that the Lenten fast enjoined by the apostles may be fulfilled, not simply by abstinence from food, but above all, by the renunciation of sin." Well, back to our giving things up competition. Some people are really into it. Like Father Ted, they're not to be outmatched in austerity. They intend on practicing their piety before men, and like Jesus said, happily receive their reward. On the other side are those people who seem up to it, but they're really scared off by the prospect of failure. For example, the vegetarian who gives up steak for Lent, the person allergic to chocolate who gives up desserts, or the non-smoker who gives up cigars and so forth. Now, for both kinds of people, they haven't kept the main thing the main thing. Jesus encountered unique temptations during his fast in the desert, and we will also encounter unique Lenten temptations. We are in danger of failing to keep the main thing the main thing. In Lent, we are tempted to become perhaps too inwardly focused. We're tempted to turn our fast into a competition, We're tempted to lose sight of our duty to our neighbors. We are tempted to turn grace into merit badges. We are tempted to become too self-obsessed. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus stresses the importance of sincere piety. Reconciliation is not an outward action to take pride in, and penance for show is ultimately a futile effort. Don't give alms to be admired, he says. Don't fast to be seen and recognized. When you pray, go to your quiet place. Shut the door. You need to spend some quality time alone with your Father. In a way, every Ash Wednesday, we meet in secret, despite all the outward show. And our penance is in secret. For the world does not really see, notice, or understand what we do here. Now, the world can identify with Mardi Gras very well. The world identifies with risque parties, celebrations, self-indulgence, cigarettes, alcohol, and rollerblading. But it can hardly fathom fasting and self-denial, except perhaps for weight loss. The world cannot understand mortification and the pursuit of holiness, sacrifice. Self-improvement, well, it can make something of that. We like the quick fix and the self-help plan. But what we do on Ash Wednesday is something different. Self-help is about making your life better or getting ahead. But Lent is not about serving yourself. It's about surrendering to God. In the Old Testament scriptures, you read that when people would lament or express grief and sorrow, they would tear their garments and throw ashes on their head. The tearing symbolized outrage, destruction, offense, and wounding. It was a way of saying, my heart is torn apart by this. And what of ashes? Well, ashes represent judgment, destruction, and waste. After the armies of ancient nations attacked a city, they often burned it to the ground. Cries of grief would ascend from that heap of ashes when survivors returned to mourn the passing of better days. Casting ashes upon yourself is to symbolize your surrender to God. It is to say, I am conquered by the Lord. I can see the high cost of my own sin. I'm deserving of judgment. I grieve with those who visit destruction. It's also a sign of humility in recognition of our humanity. In Genesis, God formed man from the dust of the ground. Because of sin, he is destined to work it in sweat and agony until he returns to it. Genesis 3:19, Remember, O man, that thou art but dust, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's what we say every Ash Wednesday. Yet there is something more to what we do on Ash Wednesday. Remember, we use ashes to mark the sign of the cross upon our foreheads, the same mark once traced with chrism at baptism. It is in this sign that we have been conquered. It is through his cross that Christ saved us. We see in ashes humility, sorrow, grief, destruction, and repentance. We also see the very sign of our salvation, of God's love. And we see the truth that we can only find God and know God through our brokenness. In Ezekiel 9, the prophet saw in a vision the sins of Jerusalem. And on the great day of God's judgment, all sin was to be rooted out of it. But he also saw that those who humbled themselves and repented were saved. God's angel was told, Go through all Jerusalem and mark a cross on the foreheads of all who grieve and lament over its loathsome practices. Other angels were told, Follow him through the city and strike. Not one glance of pity. Show no mercy. Old men, young men, girls, children, women, kill and exterminate them all. But do not touch anyone with a cross upon his forehead. And begin at my sanctuary. My friends, The truth of our religion is that through the cross of Jesus Christ, and only through the cross of Jesus Christ, we have been spared from the judgment that we deserve in our sinfulness. This Lent, we have only one prayer. Lord, have mercy. So then let us receive a cross of ashes upon our foreheads. Let us heed the call of repentance. Let us sanctify it with a prayer and fasting. And may that devotion and self-denial be an occasion for our shared intimacy with God. Go into your room and shut the door, Jesus said, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection, and it became the custom of the Church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. The season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the Church. Thereby the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. I shall teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness, O God of my salvation. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Had you desired it, I would have offered sacrifice, but you take no delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, Lord. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. We confess to you, Lord, our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. We confess to you, Lord, our anger at our own frustration, and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. We confess to you, Lord, our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work. We confess to you, Lord, our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. We confess to you, Lord. Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. Accept our repentance, Lord, for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. Accept our repentance, Lord, for our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Accept our repentance, Lord. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Favorably hear us, for your mercy is great. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation, that we may show forth your glory in all the world. By the cross and passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live, has given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardons and absolves all those who truly repent and with sincere hearts believe his holy gospel. Therefore we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen.